Back on top in June, I said that's life.
Every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more, a lot more than we have before. So take me to the
Okay, everybody, we're back. Welcome aboard, everybody, another edition of Cash Flow. It's April 15th, 2009. My apologies, yesterday I had to, I was traveling and I had technical difficulties, as one does when they take their mobile PCs to other states and try and do a radio show from there. That's just why I was not on yesterday. I've returned from my travel, so I'm back. Special guest today, as always. We're going to get to him in just a moment. Bob Neverett doing the State of the Union address, as well as our ongoing press conference. That in just a moment. Thursday, I have major announcements for all of you that can't listen or read. What I'm going to do is reiterate some of the things that you are not hearing or reading regarding the CMS process. One, there's still something in this country called due process. Two, in order to hear me, you have to listen and read at the same time. If you do not, you will suffer from unnecessary emotional outbursts, and your panic ratio will continue to increase more and more and more and more. I have repeatedly mentioned this over and over again to all of you that keep complaining regarding telephone calls and telephone harassment. I've explained that in depth, and I'm going to do so, and a special edition of Cash Flow will be tomorrow regarding that process, as well as some new additional headlines that I will have to edit and disinfect, to tell you the truth on, that has just come out in USA Today and some other various media that I've just seen, as well as other conditions regarding the electrical environment, which have showed up actually while I was in my travels, regarding your cell phone use, the fact that there is no privacy anymore on that. We've mentioned that time and time again. And with that notion, that means your banking and credit card information is not safe either. I don't care what they say out there. But again, this is some of the stuff that we've emphasized while we've been speaking with Mr. Neverett about the electrical conditionings and banking and the whole thing over and over again. So I'm going to go through all of that again tomorrow. And then all of you that are continuing to ask me questions that you've not heard me answer before, because I've mentioned them to you over and over again, you have a chance now to go back to this particular archive and have it as a reference tool to go to. Okay, all right, so before we get started again, thank you everybody for your emails from London and Sweden and also Soviet Union. First time we've got some people in the Soviet Union that are hearing this now, so welcome aboard. Thanks a lot for listening. Okay, without further ado, let's bring him on. Bob Neverett, are you there?
Yes, James. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You can hear me quite clearly?
I can hear you. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, I have a surprise announcement. This is an exciting show, but let's just review the ESPN that we inaugurated last night. You know, the sports network is ESPN, right?
Right, that's right.
And it's interesting. To be a good athlete, you've got to have secular ESP. You've got to be really intuitive, and it helps in sports. So it's appropriate they call themselves ESPN as a sport network, but they don't emphasize the ESP you're bringing up or talk about it like we do. We talk about the unconscious and what is not noticed. And I inaugurated the telekinetic archetypal grid last night. That was at 6 p.m. L.A. time. No, 9 p.m. your time in L.A. Mm-hmm. And in the course of the show, we came up with some themes. One of them is I'm going to change the title to the telekinetic non-action archetypal grid, because to have ESP, you can't act. You can't try to create it. You must allow, which is the principle of 3-2-1-ing we announced on March 25th, allow and relax. So in the course of the discussing the show with the ESPing the show, came up, what kind of theme song should we have? And it was recommended a Stairway to Heaven, but that's the 1-2-3 process that the Abrahams are famous for talking about. And we are talking about completing the Abrahams process with 3-2-1. So the song we came up with is Highway to Hell.
AC/DC. All right. It's a classic.
Yes, it's a classic. Now, in light of the telekinetic non-action archetypal grid, listen to the lyrics and also the theme of allowing and relaxing. Opening line of Highway to Hell. Living easy, living free. Season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I would rather do going down party time. Right? My friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. I'll read the rest later. But how's that for resonating with our purposes here?
I'm sure I think it's just great. Actually, that their sound, AC/DC's sound, and this fit perfectly.
Okay, so what happened last night? We got a lot of images coming in. And one of the participants is a key person in my life. I've talked about, since July, the team that I work with. This team is bringing in cold fusion. We propose when we take over, we're going to bring in martial law, then cancel everybody's debts. You remember that theme?
That's correct, yep.
Yeah, so my team is a mysterious group of people who work with me, and we've never had any chance to prove that there is fellow co-creating team members. So today we are introducing one of my team members, one of the less shy members who doesn't mind coming on the media, and his name is Ian, and I say, James, say hello to Ian.
Oh, hey, Ian, how are you? Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure.
Now, what's interesting is in the course of the show last night, we came up with a title for the show. I mean, the technology is a telekinetic non-action archetypal grid, and Ian is part of the team that brought this in. And we thought we'd call the show Melting Titanium.
Yeah, they're perfect. I like that as well.
All right, so there will be a melting titanium next week on Tuesday, 3 p.m. Hawaii time. Is that right? No, 6 p.m. Hawaii time. I get it mixed up with some other things. 6 p.m. Hawaii time, 9 p.m. California time, and midnight Eastern Standard Time. So we will continue the network. It's apparently one of the first attempts to do this on electronic media, and we'll see how that squares the ESP process. Now, we received a lot of images, and James, I sent you the audio of the show by Mega Upload, so you will listen to it by next week, hopefully, have the time, and we will see if any images that people sent to us or received while they were tuned into the show on Melting Titanium last night. They can email images now. They can flash images to us, to James, so he can receive them, or any information they picked up. We seem to pick up a lot of images, interesting images, and There were apparently 614 co-creators, 614 listeners who participated. And so start sending the images, and then next week we will play the audio. If any images match, we can prove that we picked it up. Mm-hmm. And now, at risk of destroying the validity of any images, because the idea is that we have to hear from people before we say anything, so that then they say they got something, and then we say, oh, there it is, we received that. But to give you, for titillating purposes, one of the actions that was picked up, a Californian listening to our show sent a dung beetle to the Great Wall of China.
Please explain.
Well, no, that's what we picked up. Now, we don't know who it was and whether. And if someone sends in and says they did it, that's cool, but it's not proof because we've anticipated by telling this thing. But I just want to give an example of the extreme weird images that we got. Another one was hickory-smoked barbecued baby back ribs.
Mm.
Ever had them?
Okay. Have I had them? Not lately, but I know what they are, sure.
All right, so we got about 15 images. We will go into them next week. Now, let's take advantage of Ian's knowledge, and I'm going to, let's see. Ian, what did you pick up on the show last night? Anything that you'd like to elaborate on?
Well, it was pretty amazing, just as we were participating in sending images and resonating with other folks in the ESP park that's within them. We were also receiving the same type of different impressions and different, it was a marvelous alignment, and it opened up a whole new theocracy of understanding for me with this ESP business altogether, that you actually can at will just activate that part of you that allows you to pick up those perceptions that others are having at the same time and or sharing back and forth. So it was pretty enlightening for me.
The interesting thing was you mentioned to me that you felt that there were people who are naturally tuned in to the psychic non-physical in their own abilities, and they did not hear the announcement at all of the show, but when we activated the show, they picked up on something going on. Can you comment on that?
Yes, exactly right. And that was the best keen way of knowing it. It's the same way that sometimes the beast of your planet can hear things that you can't hear. Things can make dogs bark and react that you can't hear. It was almost on that level. It's like once that started, then they were picking up on that sound that necessarily they weren't attuned to, but then became attuned to because it awakened the non-physical part of them that activated the ESP side of themselves in the same way that a beast would be activated or start barking or have a reactionary cause to a frequency that they were picking up on.
Interesting. James, what did you pick up, James? Anything?
And you said it was California time. It was what time? You said it was
right when you were
9.
Getting off the plane. Right at 9 o'clock. Right when you were getting off the plane was the.
Oh, I did pick up images. I wouldn't address some of them live here, but I did pick up on them. Plus, it was
you picked up on the theme Highway to Hell then.
Yeah, because when I was in the airport at that time, it was not only people that had just released a lot of energy because they had arrived at a certain place or destination, but it was also I could sense extreme tension. I mean, there was loads of people everywhere for some reason because everybody was coming back from, I believe it was spring break, and the airport was jammed. But the stress level and the confusion level and the panic ratio in amongst all that, yeah. So I had to kind of separate myself in moments. It was a lot of energy happening at that time.
So like you opened the show with that noisy cell phone ringing and that collage of noise, That's what you experience getting off the plane.
Go. Massive noise. Massive noise. It's almost made me numb, actually, because going through the gates and going through baggage claim, you know, do all the standard things that people do. At that time, the frequency and the location of that particular airport, the energy there is totally different than other destinations in their airports as a specific things. But L.A. is like a hot plate of stress and anxiety. So there's tons of collages of energy. Just about, I don't think this is the first time I've actually, like, as I've mentioned on here, I've paid attention to what people's actions are at airports. But this one in particular, I would say at least 9 out of 10 people were all wired in or having issues with wiring in communications. Because they're all, as soon as anybody gets off a plane, they're already wired in. Everybody wires in and gets in the seat to transmit or to receive some information. So that's what was going on. So it was difficult to it was like a gigantic let's see, that now the phone's ringing here. so as I'm describing it, my phone is ringing. So it was like a collage of 50, 60 different records all playing at the same time, but you can't hear any melody. So it was like the highway to hell, yeah.
Okay, now Ian, who I know personally has traveled a lot, been through millions of airports, has Ian got some suggestions for James or anybody listening on how to handle the dissonance? How do you do it, Ian? You're a pretty relaxed person.
We describe it more like a roar, that's a white noise that just sort of, it distracts, but after a little while you can go through and pick out individual specific types of things that are coming on. The more highly reactive folks would have a higher, more like a shrill. And the easiest way to do that is just to center and lower your center of gravity, I guess is the way it is to say it, to ground yourself from that aspect. And anything else that's going on in the baggage being lost in the folks running around, we kind of inwardly focus on ourselves to quiet our mind as much as we can. And then most of that roar or white noise kind of sort of bounces away. It doesn't have to become in your experience as far as being a distraction. But yes, it's absolutely sometimes more than others, but sometimes it's just incredible.
How do you respond to that, James? Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's like people, including myself, you have to practice at it. You have to practice and be aware of your awareness and think about your thinking. Now, relevant to this just came in a flash message, and this came from Dr. Paul Proteus here in Southern California. He says, probably a stupid question here. Where was Bob's ESP-N show available? On Achieve? ? You talked about it last time Bob was on, but he didn't indicate where to hear it. I just hope I'd hear in my head. Can we hear the audio from last night? But I think you mentioned we're going to be listening to that at a different time.
Yes, since you have the technology that are broadcasted, you have the audio. It just was sent to you. You'll listen to it whenever, and then we'll find out what parts we can broadcast next week, next Wednesday.
Great.
Next Wednesday
Great.
On Cashflow, right? You can broadcast something in your computer there, right?
Yep, I'll play it through the speakers, the relevant pieces, and then we'll assess it.
Yes, and now that's the audio. We were picking up silence, picking up images. But my team was talking. We were kind of cheating. You know, we were the switchboard operators receiving the images and describing the images to each other. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's audio of our commentary. We were the ESPN sports commentators on the imagery going back and forth.
You were doing ESPN psychic traffic control.
Yes, yes. And so Paul's saying that he didn't know where to listen? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, where was Bob's ESPN show available? And then he says on Achieve. So well, it will be pieces of it will be Dr. Paul, but I think that was at some other time, some other venue.
What will?
No, I mean I'm talking about your show was not on this network.
No, it wasn't. It was everywhere.
Right.
We had the biggest transmission going on, the biggest power, biggest station. But we are fulfilling the mandate of Achieve Radio. If you look at their logos and mottos and aphorisms, they talk about being spiritual radio, psychic radio. All this stuff is what Achieve Radio is happening. So cash flow, we have been dealing with that because that's one of the four bodies, the chip body, TV body, astral body, and chemical bodies that we illuminate every week. So we emphasize the astral body off station, but in the spirit of Achieve Radio. You get me?
I get it. I hope everybody else gets it, too, because I was just prior to going on, my producer here was mentioned to me that he was surprised of your metaphysical turn around the corner. But I mentioned that, you know, metaphysics and cash flow or money in this day and age is very linked. I think people have missed that, but we've addressed that here. We'll continue to address it.
What do you say to that, Ian?
Yes, it's a marvelous awakening that folks can bring into their physicalness all aspects of the resources that have been made available to them, which they actually created, but now they can benefit from that creation.
Yeah, today is tax day, but it's turning into Boston Tea Party Day. What do you think, Ian, of the American citizens who are out protesting the taxes? Do you align yourself with that, or do you have other strategies?
Well, the magic of that whole process is that we wouldn't push against anything. We would look for the best feeling thought we could find regarding any aspect of their life and focus on that. Then there won't be a necessary or a causal need to push against anything, IRS included.
Right, so the we, James, that Ian's talking about is our team. That's we. Now, James, you don't advocate resisting. You advocate understanding the techniques and processes of the debt and credit world.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to address this because, as you know, Bob, and I believe Ian knows, I've just started doing guest speaking on other broadcasts. And one of the things that I'm saying is because I'm seeing this brewing up of violence and stuff that's happened. Stuff that's never happened in history of this country is starting to happen now. And people are the frustration, the anger, and the potential violence is brewing. And if they understood what was going on, and I've said this on other networks, the banks failed too. We all lost in this. So I remember I said, you know, on the website, and you've said it won. We're talking technology broke the banking system. And if people would I advocate everybody needs to get full disclosure before they go out and get their guns and do reflex responses and violence, which it seems to me a lot of people are willing to do, want to do. They feel like they want to pay back the people that have done this to them or at them, and I think that's an incorrect strategy. It's there's danger there, so I'm trying to fluff bust their consciousness so that they don't take violent action.
Right. Someone sent me a URL to Bill Moyer's show, Bill Moyer's Journal, and he had on a man, an expert on the SNL crisis, and he's done a book, something about if you want to do well, own a bank. I can forget the exact title. I'll come up with a second. But, yeah, the best way to rob a bank is to own one. Now, William Black was on Bill Moyer's, and he was saying we have to bring to justice, legislation, trial, the fraudulent elite bankers who caused this problem. And as I listened to his expertise, I realized that he had no clue of the effect of the computer environment, what we call the chip landscape, in creating the situation, which fooled everybody.
Exactly.
And he is pointing fingers, and he says, we need to get the fraudsters out of the elites. And he was saying Paulson and these people are fraudsters, banksters, fraudsters. And he was a respectable professor at the University of Missouri in Kansas City, and he was featured on Bill Moyers, but it just showed someone who has all the credentials to understand the situation doesn't talk about at least the factor of computers in creating this tsunami.
You. Hence, that's why I say, Bob, and I've always said, I'm not a financial expert. Don't put me in that category with all these other guys that are talking about, because if they aren't giving full disclosure, then they've got their part of the problem. Maybe they know, maybe they don't. I don't know. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Special guests today, Bob Nevert and Ian. This ongoing press conference, State of the Union Address, we'll be back right after these messages. Stand by, everybody.
Excuse me, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we'll take our chances, cause God's not keeping score. I guess somewhere along the way, he must have let us all out to play.
You're listening to AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt? Tired of your credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good? Now? That's right. Call our 800 number and listen to the 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Do you want to spend more time with your family? Are you looking for a way to incorporate your financial dreams in with your hopes for a better life for you and others? Well, it can be done, and the Family Value Network is the place to start. At Family Value Network, they believe that in order for the general family dynamic to become one of health and vibrancy, families need to be together. And they believe that home-based income opportunities offer families a chance to do that and to build a secure future, which is why the Family Value Network has created the online place for creating personal wealth with home-based income. At the Family Value Network, their greatest desire is for global shift of consciousness, to create a place for a network of families excited about reaching their highest potential. Do yourself a favor, see what it's all about. www.familyvaluenetwork.com. Take your future in your own hands and make a difference in the world while you're at it. FamilyValueNetwork.com. The life you've always dreamed of has already begun.
Hi, this is Sherilyn, and you're listening to AchieveRadio.com.
Solution to our drug hold evolution.
All right, everybody, we're back. This is April 15th, 2009. We're going to continue our press conference, State of the Union Address, with Bob Nevert, special guest with him on his team, Ian. These are the gentlemen that are going to be bringing in Cold Fusion. I wanted to bring up, Bob, I completely forgot until this moment. While I was on the plane coming back from my location, somebody that was sitting next to me that was I would call him a computer expert. He had been working on designing computers since he was at least 10 years old. So he was completely, his life and dependency was in the chip landscape. And he was coming to California to acquire work or look for work because he was no longer he'd been canceled out where he was before. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you expect to get in California that you can't get wherever you're at over there? I mean, they're going to still pay you in a certain amount. You don't need to be in front of somebody with a computer and making code and all those things that are doing. He said, well, you do have a point there, but I think people want to see me physically, that my work itself and the code that I write and the digital kind of art that I create for people, they want to see me face to face. The work isn't just good enough. But I said, but when you get paid, though, you don't have to be in that. Your body does not need to be in the same location as where you're getting paid. Am I correct? And then he just looked at me because he never even thought about that type of issue, and he's working deep in the chip landscape. So it's just that was happening when I was coming off the plane, because I was listening to this guy intently. Just from his perspective, because I'm saying this is a guy that's part of the collapse. He created it. His use of it. He was one of the small, tiny, tiny, tiny pieces in the millions of people that have, you know, joined in the computer thing. This is one of the guys that did it. Should this guy go to jail too? I mean,
yeah, and all us users who received his emails and the benefits of his code making. Ian, how do you see the effect of computerization in the economy over the last 25 years?
Well, it's just the absolute exponential increase of the bits of information that have always been available. It's just now they're available everywhere, when that was not necessarily the case. Your political figures pick up on that now. It's always been a sort of a glass house, but now if they take a step off of a curb, it's on every news network around the world. They enjoy the benefit of that fodder, if you call it that. It's just that the increase in the capacity of having instant access to everything. It's probably been the main part that's in flux in everybody's life or experience as they allowed it.
Well, when James talking about this chip landscape employee and innovator, I think of McLuhan's line, the more involved you are, the less you know. The more you participate, the less you know. So here's someone who works in the chip landscape but never thought of the effects of that in terms of his chemical body. And the other thing McLuhan said is that the electronic environment could not be bought, sold, or stolen. How do you see the use of money as measuring the instantaneity of the 0-1 sent through international economic channels? How does that relate to private ownership if we are everything everywhere and we own something? Could you comment on that?
Well, it's the old song of who will provide the grand design of what is yours and what is mine. It kind of lays it that way. Once you have enoughness, then after that, what else is there? If there's enough, there's enough. And if there's lack, it doesn't matter how much you have, it still responds and shows up in your reality as lack.
Right. So if you perceive you have a lack in an environment of abundance, that's your problem. That's your natural...
That's what's happening to your billionaires now when they wake up and half their portfolio is gone.
They think they've lost.
Where did it go?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or where was it that they lost it?
Now, let me, I want both of you to address this, Ian and Bob. I mentioned this before, just because I mentioned it in an interview on another network, and I just got silence afterwards. Because I've mentioned on this show, because I've had, you know, top computer experts and guys that worked in security and so forth tell me, and I know this is true, that you can take your car, take your portable device. If you have the will and technology, you can park outside of like an apartment complex, pick up on a frequency, computer frequency, get on the internet, hack into somebody's private personal information. Their personal information, if they made any transactions on the internet, will leave a digital signature. That digital signature can be hijacked, the identity can be hijacked, and that can be sent and transferred instantaneously to another part of the world, whereby the bank or the alleged credit card companies now have got a huge problem. They cannot track this information, this imaginary money, and somebody, some person with a chemical body somewhere is going to be in for it. And the FBI is not going to investigate or do anything for at least a year until at least, you know, there's at least an alleged $100,000. So this is happening all over the world right now, but nobody's going to investigate it until it gets to a certain point. What is how is that going to be handled? What's the future of that? Because it's just going to get worse before it gets better, or it will just disappear entirely.
Well, don't let the Nigerians find that out, or maybe it would save a lot of clogged emails from them trying to hijack your information if they can do it that
right.
easy. But what happens is it changes. You have to come into a place where even if they hijack your information, it really doesn't matter. Meaning, what's so special about your identity that they're going to make this, their world is going to be increased because they now have your identity, you see. So once you don't even push against something as simple as that, they'll steal your identity, but they'll be the ones that they choose not to use yours until they have to reform everything to a point that that doesn't even matter. Used to, when you were entering into this part of this world, it in a handshake meant more than a security deed or a document filed. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the resonance of physicalness to physicalness that stops that identity embargo, I guess is the way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bob?
Well, I have many identities and many accounts. That's how I keep ahead of the game, and I remain indifferent to it. And like the highway to hell, how'd that go? It said, no stop signs, speed limit, no stop signs, no speed limit. Nobody's going to slow me down like a wheel, going to spin it. Nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, Mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Don't stop me.
Right. Well, I'll have to make special arrangements, Bill. I'll have to, you know, burn that disc and not pay any fees for it because it's free all over the place, the music, and see if we can use it on Wednesdays. But this flash message just came in, and I want to address this. This comes from Y-Zone, location USA. Cash flow is metaphysics? Metaphysics is an alternative reality which therefore has value, whereas cash is a make-believe concept which has no intrinsic value beyond being recycled paper. Except most people think it has value, so therefore it does. Quote, belief is the reality, is a basic premise of metaphysics. So I guess you're right. Cash flow is metaphysics. Would you agree?
Well, that sounds like stuff that Ian and I have talked about in our meetings, private meetings. But Ian, comment on that, please.
Of course. Any practical application, like copywritten work, how much is a copyright worth? How much is a patent worth? Well, if it's a patent of something that nobody uses or nobody has aspect of appreciation or perceived value, then that patent is practically valueless. But yet you come up with a trademark name such as Google, and all of a sudden it's worth a couple $100 a share.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the perception or that perceived aspect. Mutual funds also used to have value as well. And now, of course, that seems to be waning because it's being undone just as quickly as it was brought up to be of value. Interesting concept if you play with it. Let's talk about gold. Who says how much gold is worth? Well, it's worth what you can exchange it for, okay? Well, gold sort of is the same. It's the part that doesn't change. You can't go away. You can't get rid of it. The more you burn it, the more it becomes pure. And if you mix it even with sand or electroplate it across a Capitol building, that's perfectly okay. All the gold that was there still is, you see. So it becomes a few constants that you can use as you're stacking up of this comfort level or this amount of lack as far as your degree of confidence. It actually has more to do with confidence than it does necessarily with how many stacks of pennies you have piled up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And is confidence metaphysical?
Well, it can be anything. If you think you're going to be, if the doctor gives you an incurable prognosis and you don't buy it, then you don't necessarily have to die of it. But yet, you can if you so choose to, you see.
So you have to, you're saying right. you have to have consent for the diagnosis?
You have to resonate with it. That's correct.
Okay.
Well, I want to ask this quick question here. I know you mentioned about martial law and all that other stuff. Really, when most people are going to look at that, well, you know, they're taking away our freedoms, and then now the big boys are going to come in, and now everything's, you know, ending. When I look at it, based upon an individual's understanding, if their glass is half full, they're actually doing the public a favor by doing that, really, in a certain sense.
What caused the Boston Tea Party the first time? They weren't going to have taxation without representation. Same thing that caused the original Revolutionary War the first time.
Why is it that nobody other than I'm trying to think of somebody that even addressed it. I know there's a couple of people that have emailed me and said that other people have addressed this in media, but why is it that nobody on the highest levels of the G20 or this administration is going to address the digital environment and what's really happened? Is that a NSA issue?
No. It's how did they get put on the accepted in the G20? Well, go back 20 years ago, there was no G20. Why is there now a G20?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there now a G8? There didn't used to be a G8. That's not a historical group that's been meeting for centuries. That's just new because the problems have leaped over the boundaries because everyone was supposed to take care of their own, you see. They've been hungry in Ethiopia for a very long time. It's only now that everybody notices that if somebody doesn't get a meal, that it's in everybody's inbox.
Right. Inbox, that's right. So Bob, why is this not addressed in Congress, on CNN, on anywhere? Why not?
Well, I'm not sure why in, taxation without representation was the cry. Is that what people are saying now, that they're being taxed without representation today?
Well, that's what everybody seems to be grumbling about, that the government now has the job of bailing out all these institutions that have quote-unquote failed, and that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for that. And it's kind of interesting when you come with the concept of, wait a second, how are we going to pay this back when it's already more money than is? And folks, and just because you add another zero on it and another zero on it and another zero on it doesn't change the fact that it's more than is. When your national debt it gets larger than your gross national product or your gross domestic product, you have a problem.
Yeah, and then some, yeah.
And then some.
But
it's more than is. How do you have more than is?
That means you have wealth that's not measurable in money terms, and we have this incredible electronic ESP abundance of information. We have so much, but we're misinterpreting it as a debt because it's bigger.
And it's increasing exponentially, and so is your debt.
So now, I want to go back to this thing with the martial law. Reason being is because that will be a trigger to the public that I know that the public is going to perceive it as, you know, a noose around their neck, but really, in metaphysical terms, that needs to be done for what reason?
Well, we could develop that just a little bit, but let's go on the premise of with martial law, you have no liberties, civil or otherwise, so the only answer is to either kill you or to put you in jail. Well, after a little while, you're going to have everybody in jail. Well, isn't the jailer also in jail?
Yeah.
You see? I mean, isn't he also incarcerated? And he's even got to make sure you're fed and watered. Okay, and then after a little while, when you've gotten everybody in jail, who are you protecting everyone from if everyone's in jail? You see? And
yes.
Now, aren't they in jail anyway? They're two steps away from losing their house. They're two steps away from losing their job. They're two steps away from having their identity bastardized across the ethers.
That's right.
What's the end of that process, you see?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. So you're saying, Ian and Bob, well, I know Bob, but Ian, this whole concept of the ego's identification that I own, this is mine, is over?
It's passing, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So greed is a motivating force will end.
Well, when you get down to where you start dividing resources, how much air, do they tax you on your air yet?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yet they have coordinates which relegate air space. For the airlines, do they not?
Mm-hmm. No fly zones. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Now all of a sudden it becomes quantitative as far as the aspect of the control. All they want is the control. And if we allow the control and align with that, then, you know, St. Petersburg, Russia, welcome home. But if not, then you see what's happening now. They seem to be in a pretty rough state, and yet they're freer than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't quelch or put them in a pile of a Democrat or a Libertarian or a Republican or pick something. A communist used to be in the 60s. It was all the communist and McCarthyism and all that kind of stuff. It all goes in cycles. You see, socialism, socialist, and that kind of thing. All that comes back to is having power when your mass consciousness starts resonating with that. And we're coming into that great place, too, because now your present administration says, okay, we've put you there. Now, take care of my health care. Oh, wait, now the government's in charge of my health. Now, take care of all the pharmaceuticals. We're supposed to make drugs that make us well so we can live longer and draw off the system further or more completely. You've taken every aspect of my freedom away, or think you have, so therefore you are culpably responsible for my happiness. Do you understand that when a child is born, if you actually read the birth certificate, that you're giving that child, in effect, to the state?
Yes, I do know that. Most people don't want to address that, but believe me, I do.
Well,
the birth certificate of birth.
They fill it out at the hospital and they put it away, but you don't get to see it anymore. And now you can't even have the birth certificate. You can only have a certified copy of the birth certificate, so they don't have to show you what's on the back of it.
Yeah, because it's stamped all over the world and used as an alleged debt. Yep.
Indeed. That's exactly correct. And that's how they count it. And we have abolished slavery now, right?
Right. I've been saying that, but trying to get people to understand that for a long time, but it's just not there yet.
No, they're not marching in Selma, Alabama regarding your actual ownership of your body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That hasn't been the Great March.
No, they're protesting abstract situations from the 19th century.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Pretty much. But
this came in. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They're waking up. Don't worry.
Yes, I wanted to say this is shows like Alex Jones shows, where they document the discovery of some old prison out in the desert of Nevada with a bunch of empty buses driving towards. They imagine that's where we're going if martial law comes in. Alex Jones is not recognized, as Ian has just outlined. The cities, the natural environments we live in today are concentration camps in terms of
right.
slavery.
Mm-hmm. No, I review his site, and the aggravation level of all his listeners is reaching an all-time high, and some of the stuff that's happening that they're documenting that's happening to people all over the place, whether they're, you know, people getting pulled over at the airport because they're carrying Ron Paul stickers in their luggage, and the FBI is coming to question them. That's happening now, and you can't the police departments and the people that are, quote, authority figures are saying, you can think this, but you can't think this, and if you are thinking this, then you got to watch out because this person is potentially violent, which is, like, insane to me.
Yeah, so that's happening on. Are those people creating that response? Are they expecting it, Ian?
Well, it's being accepted, and they're resonating with their powerlessness. And when you get down so far, we're getting down to the only thing that ever worked anyway in every aspect of your life. You have to learn and find a way to relax and allow in your reality. Then when it all crumbles, yours doesn't have to crumble. You see, smallpox, flu, influenza, cancer, AIDS, pick something. It should have killed everybody by now, but it hasn't, you see, because not everybody's going to resonate with that.
Go ahead, James.
So you're saying that when people resonate with it, they're taking their energy and thought forms and whatever their focus is, you know, if we focus, like I've mentioned, if you're going to march for what you do want. Don't march for what you don't want. Don't protest against the Federal Reserve. March for cold fusion or something like that.
Yes, absolutely, because that will be your experience. That's how everything is invented. And yet with all this marvelous technology and all this marvelous everything that's been exponentially increased, I mean, you can hear the birds singing 10,000 miles away just by getting to the right URL to plug into it. I mean, it's fabulous. It's amazing. And that's not a negative. That's a positive. And it's not quite overload, but the overload is the part that they don't resonate with, you see. It falls to the side. It sort of dilutes the whole process. But it still doesn't affect creation, because that is what indeed is creating everything that's in your experience. And if that's fear and treachery and martial law, then pack your bags, because the concentration camp is your next step. But if not, then next thing you know, by the time they send you to the concentration camp, it'll be full, and I'm sorry, we don't have room for you here. And you go,
I'm going. There's a place over the Four Seasons. You can go over there, and there's a concentration camp over there with a pool.
indeed. And they have work details to come clean it up for you, so you don't even have to be bothered with that either.
So, Ian, how did you come across this insight that I've noticed in knowing you through the years? Is there any way, or were you born with this?
Well, everybody has the ability to innately understand who they are if they choose to, you see. Everybody has the ability to come into the knowing that they were or are in the process of understanding they are the creator of their own reality. And that reality creation is what keeps all the tectonic plates kind of in place. Otherwise, we should have all crashed into each other already by now. It keeps that natural balance in tow, I guess. Because there's enough magnetic frequency and enough magnetic resonance going on that it should have changed the polar magnetic fields for the whole planet by now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's enough microwave radiation to turn it upside down right now. Yet, somehow it's still spinning right along, you see. So it is a balancing through the grounding process. It allows you to know that if everything's going to be okay, then in your reality, it will be okay.
That's debt relief, isn't it, James?
Like I said, this is getting rid of the administrative stuff you feel with your hands, which would be on paper through a legal administrative process of getting rid of alleged debt. That's just part of it. It's really going on inside somebody. That's really the job that needs to be done first, in my humble opinion.
And it is. It is. It is. Because now your mortgage holder is going out of business. Now, oh my, oh my, now what do we do? But now think about it. If you hold the security deed on a property, all right, and they are not, the people who own the house aren't paying, and enough of those people stop paying, then your Chase Manhattan goes out of business or has to be bought out or bailed up or whatever, bailed in, whatever you want to call that. The point is now the government owns a larger stake in Chase Manhattan than the shareholders do. Interesting.
Right. Very good point. All right. I'm very thankful both of you took the time out today. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Bob. We're at the end of the hour. We'll be back next week. I promise everybody we'll have those clips, various clips, audio clips, ready to transmit for you next week. This is James Martinez with Cashflow. See you again tomorrow, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. So take me to the nearest store. Can you hear it ring? It makes you want to sing. It's such a beautiful thing. Yeah. Lots of diamond rings. The happiness it brings. You live like a king. With lots of money and things. Can you hear it ring? It makes you want to sing. You live like a king. With lots of money and ka-ching.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to ARS, the Achieve Radio System. AchieveRadio.com. Hey, what's a .com?